Welcome to the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast. My name is Trevor Reddick, and we are back for another episode covering The Bachelor. It was week 6, and you know, this was a very up and down episode. And to recap it, I got to introduce the man himself, who may or may not be an even worse bowler than Kit. His name is Brandon Siegel. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know what? I'm not going to say I'm worse than Kit, but I'm also not going to say I'm much better. We're going to take the humble approach here today. My bowling skills are not top tier. I give them maybe a 4 out of 10, possibly a 5, but I think even an average bowler is better than I am, so I'd probably give myself a 4. A guy who for sure is worse than me at bowling, and definitely worse than Kit, is of course our other co-host on the podcast, Ben O'Brien. Ben, how are you doing today?
Well, I was doing all right until you gave me that intro. I feel like I'm probably a little bit better than Kit. I will say, though, and we can talk about this later, but when it came down to Abigail there at the end and she choked, I can relate to that, because under pressure I have no ice in my veins, so I can definitely relate to Abigail in the aspect of not performing when I need to down when it's clutch time, so mm-hmm. I totally understand where she's coming from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this was an interesting episode. I thought there were definitely some good parts, and we'll talk about those, but there were also some bad parts. Maybe some of that is the fault of production, maybe some of that is the fault of just certain girls, certain women on the show. But to start it off, we have to talk about this two-on-one that wasn't my favorite thing. To end last week's episode, we kind of mentioned it because we got like a little bit of it. We got like the first half of it, and we got kind of the second half of it at the start of this episode. So this argument that they're kind of having stems from basically Jesenia kind of trying to call out some of the rude comments, the mean girl stuff that's been happening, the bullying, you may call it, that MJ was involved in, because MJ has made some comments. We've seen it. I mean, we've seen some of the things MJ has said. She's been pretty mean. She's made some rude comments. And Jesenia didn't want to stand for that, similar to Katie, it seemed like. And she mentioned this to Matt, and that's how this two-on-one kind of came up. And, you know, two-on-ones, I think they're really hit and miss. Like, sometimes they can be good, sometimes they're not. I wouldn't say they're my favorite, but we have got some in past seasons that I have enjoyed. There was one I remember, I think it was in Ben's season, which is about 4 or 5 years ago now, so it's hard to remember it, but I think it was like with the Ashley girl, and I don't really know, and you know, sometimes they're good, but this one was not good. It was one of these typical arguments that we've had this season multiple times, where it's two people who are gonna kind of just, you know, state what they feel, and not really, I mean, they might listen to the other person, but they're very set on what they think, and they're not really going to change what they think. And in this instance, we got MJ, who consistently, like we mentioned last week, was talking about how, oh, I lead by example, and she very much so believed what she thought was the truth. And what she thought was the truth was very much not the truth. And Matt ended up sending her home, which was the right move. It was pretty clear MJ was in the wrong. And I think the theme that this two-on-one had that we're going to get later with the Katie and Serena C1 is that some of these people just seem to not be living in the same reality that all of the rest of us are. MJ and Serena C both, everything that they were saying, I was just like, wait, I didn't see any of that. So Brandon, I'm going to go to you first on that. What did you think about this, and why does MJ think the things that she thinks, I guess? I don't know.
So here's the thing about MJ. She, in my opinion, I don't think she is living in the same world that the rest of us are living in right now, like at all. Something is clearly wrong. Here's the thing. If you were to say those things, if you were to own up to it, I mean, that's the best way to move forward, just collectively. And the thing is you're on national television. And, like, if she, like, said one comment once to someone privately, and then it came back to bite her, that's a little bit of a different story. We're like, oh, I would never say something like that, because you most of the time didn't. She consistently said stuff at rose ceremonies where they are on camera. She can go back and see the tape. I mean, she acted like a horrible human being. And frankly, I was super happy to see her go. I honestly don't even want to talk about her that much because I don't like her. And, you know, she was being a bully. I mean, that's kind of how this season has went so far. We've had a lot of bullying involved in the episodes. And I think you make a good point that it's part of production's fault. They're showing us this. They're rewarding the bullying by showing it on television. But to go to the two-on-one date and to say, I lead by example and, you know, my actions speak for themselves. Like, yeah, you're right. They do speak for themselves. And you didn't look like a good person at all. You looked quite terrible. You treated the other women pretty terribly. So, I don't feel super bad for MJ at all, and I'm very happy she's gone. We got all the major people who are doing the bullying, at least at the start of the season, out, which is very nice to see.
Yeah, so then, you know, Jesenia comes back with the rose, obviously, and we got Katie who was, like, saying, you know, I hope that the last of kind of, like, this Mean Girls crew goes home, and, you know, MJ does go home, and then we get the rose ceremony. Now, at the rose ceremony, there's not a lot really that happened here. Brittany, Ryan, and Maggie were the women who went home. Not really that surprising to me. All of them, obviously Brittany, you know, she got some screen time with obviously, you know, the stuff with Anna that happened that was ridiculous. So Ben, I'm going to go to you now. What were some of your initial thoughts, about this episode? Some of your takeaways that you wanted to mention?
Yeah. So quickly, I'll hit on the two-on-one. And I think, Trevor, I think you made a really good point when you said that, like, there's times where, like, in the past where there's been some really good two-on-ones and then this was a lame one. And really, the reason why it was lame in one of the notes I had was because neither one of these girls were winning, and we know this, so it's kind of just like, all right, let's keep this moving. And my favorite part of the two-on-one was actually they never showed on TV Matt giving the rose to Jesenia. Literally, all they showed was him telling MJ that he's not giving her the rose. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. Like, he really didn't even give it to Jesenia. Basically, what he was saying is that MJ's worse than Jesenia, so he sent MJ home over Jesenia. So I just thought that was interesting. And then talking about the rose ceremony, I mean, the three girls that went home, like you said, Brittany got some screen time. A little bit surprised to see her go home, but again, I didn't really think she was going to win. Maggie stayed way longer than I thought she would. For like 3 weeks now, I've been saying this is probably Maggie's time to go. And then Ryan got like maybe 3 minutes of screen time. This whole season. I mean, she's one of the new girls, but like at the same time, I couldn't tell you anything about her. I mean, I remember what she looks like, but honestly, at this point, it's been 2-3 days now. I don't even know if I could tell you what she looks like anymore. So again, not super surprising this rose ceremony. You saw three girls go home that we knew wasn't going to win. So yeah, I really do think now that we're 6 weeks in, I really do think you're starting to see kind of a hierarchy here form of who the real contenders are here, and then who are the girls that we predicted weeks ago are just kind of going to be there for a while, and then eventually he's going to pick one of them off, and we're starting to slowly see those irrelevant girls be picked off one by one, and we saw that perfectly in this rose ceremony.
Yeah, I agree with that. So next we kind of had this other kind of argument that we had between Katie and Serena C, where it seems that Serena C apparently just thinks that Katie is here not for the right reason. She's not here for Matt, apparently, in Serena C's words. And she wants to go talk to Katie. So she goes up, she wants to talk to Katie. And initially, like Katie thought, like Katie was like, oh, I thought you were going to come up to me and apologize. I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, oh, Serena C, they're going to have a good conversation, maybe. Well, actually, not that much, because we did see some of the stuff in previews. So not totally. But I think normally, if you hadn't seen the previews, you would assume that apology would be in order. And that wasn't what happened at all. Serena C basically said something along the lines of, I don't think you're here for Matt. I don't appreciate how you're just starting all this drama and taking away my time. And let's just forget about all the rude comments, the bullying. Let's just forget about all that. You don't have a right to, you know, use that to take away the time from me. It was ridiculous. Again, this more so than the MJ thing, felt like these two people were in different realities. Serena C was in the room when MJ was making comments, when Victoria was saying stuff. She was in the room. She was there. I mean, I remember seeing her, you know, in week 3, week 4 when this stuff was happening. Yet she somehow either does not remember it or doesn't think there was anything wrong with it, which is very strange. And then I also really liked Katie's response. She really just completely stood up for herself, and she was totally right in everything she was saying. She was like, I stood up because that's what I felt was the right move. And, you know, you're basically just based off of no evidence telling me that I'm not here for Matt, which is really just disrespectful, and it's kind of weird that Serena C's just accusing that for no reason. So, Ben, I'm going to go to you on this. Obviously, we all, you know, we all like Katie, obviously, based off of, you know, her previous actions and her time on the show. So what did you think about this conversation?
Yeah, so like you, Trevor, I thought Serena C was going to apologize to Katie. And then she kind of basically says, like, I want you to apologize to me. And right away, the first thing I thought was, like, Serena C is going to probably need to stay off social media for a while, because this is not how you want to talk to America's favorite at this point. She's doing everything that you don't want to do to get America and the audience of the show to like you, because she was going at Katie, demanding an apology. And Katie had such a good point, because Katie was explaining how, yeah, I mean, I told Matt what was going on, but she's like, I didn't mention any names. I literally just told him there's some things going on that you should be aware of. But she's like, I didn't drop any names. She's like, I would never do that. I just wanted to let him know that maybe he should take a closer look at these things. And I agree with her. I mean, Katie has every right to do that. She can do that all she wants. And especially if she's not going to drop any names, go for it, Katie. You do you. This is what America likes you. She handled it perfectly. Obviously, I mean, they raised their voices a little bit, but I mean, in regards to everything we've seen this season, it was a pretty subtle argument. It didn't get too over the top like we've seen with other arguments this year. But yeah, it was just interesting. And again, Serena C, like, I haven't been a fan of her for a while. And after this episode, I don't know how anybody could ever be a fan of her, just because she's not going to win. She's so irrelevant, and she's kind of just doing these things. And I mean, again, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to matter, but she really did everything that she should not have done if she wants America to like her, because she went right at America's favorite and basically demanded an apology for something that probably didn't warrant an apology. So, again, super interesting. We don't need to go into it in too much depth, because it's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things, but it was definitely an interesting and somewhat entertaining moment, that's for sure.
Yeah. Brandon, did you have anything to add on that before we get into the Piper one-on-one?
Yeah, I think there's two big things that Serena C did wrong. Number one, if you ever go to someone with, I think you're here for the wrong reasons, you're just never going to win that argument. It's just not possible. It doesn't matter even if the person was there for the wrong reasons. You're just never going to win that argument, because it's not your place to decide that. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, she was beefing with Katie because Katie stood up to girls bullying. There's so many things wrong with that collectively, if that was in the real world. But on top of that, she did that on national television. She called her out for standing up to bullying. You're just simply not going to win that at all. And I told Ben this the other day on the phone, that if I was ever on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, I would be so quiet around the other guys. I'd just be so silent the whole entire time, because I would simply never want what happened to Serena C to happen to me. I would never want to say something that could either be taken out of context or just so blatantly wrong, where I would just be so silent or just never talk about the actual show with them. I'd just be like, hey, I like the Ravens. Who do you like? You know, what football team you like? That, it'd be that simple. And she just messed up so, so badly. So I just wanted to point that out before, you know, we move on to Piper.
Oh, hey, what's up? I like the Ravens.
See, Brandon only tells me because he says I'm boring. That's boring, Brandon. Nobody wants to hear about that. We want to see you get into it with somebody.
I find, Ben, if I'm ever on the show, I will do whatever you want to do. I'll just stand up and I'll be like, I hate you, you're too tall.
I want to see all, like, 5'3" of you just start swinging on somebody. That's okay. Entertainment. That's what we want to see.
Hold up. For the listeners at home, I'm not 5'3". I'm right around 6 feet tall. So I'd like to be clear.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, with some 6-inch heels maybe or something.
That's generous,
or
too.
5-inch heels, whatever it is. I don't know, 4-inch. It was definitely, you know, again, we've gotten a lot of these just like weird, petty arguments, strange. I'm usually not a huge fan of them, but let's move on. We have the Piper one-on-one, which I was pretty excited for because, I've really liked Piper so far. I think she's been fun. Seems like Matt's really into her. So we got this one-on-one. And basically, Matt has a surprise for her, and there's this, I don't know how they set this up. This is what I was really curious about. Like, they set this whole carnival up. Like, I'm wondering, like, how far away is this from the actual, like, hotel that they stay in? I had so many questions about, like, how logistically did they make this happen? It was very cool. I mean, to just set up a carnival for this one date. It obviously had to be very expensive, but it was pretty cool. In all of these one-on-ones that we see, we don't get to see as much as I would like to. And that's something that I talked about before the podcast. I was like, you know, they give us all this drama, all these arguments. I would like to see some of that cut out. And I would like to see maybe some more of that time into these one-on-ones. Like maybe instead of like a 5-minute one-on-one segment with Piper, we get 10 minutes. So we get to hear more about just like, I don't know, like just anything, like about maybe a little bit more about like Piper's, you know, some of her past relationships, or maybe like, maybe they can talk about like, I mean, they're both athletes. It would be cool if we can get a Piper and Matt conversation about like their athletic careers. Like what sports did they play? How did it go? Like, I would like to hear about some of that stuff. And we didn't totally get that. We did get a conversation where, you know, Piper was talking about, you know, with my family, they don't like, I think she was saying something along the lines of like, they don't express their feelings all that much. So it was kind of hard for me to kind of try to break out of that, which was interesting. But I would just like to get more of just like normal conversations. What about you, Ben? What did you think about this one-on-one?
So this is a really cool one-on-one. And my favorite part about this one-on-one and the first thought I had was that they're putting their usual travel budget into great use, because this could not have been cheap. Like, you set up a whole carnival for two people. First of all, that's like every kid's dream. Like, I'm jealous. Like, 10-year-old me, honestly, 23-year-old me would love to go to have a whole carnival, a whole festival to yourself. So, I mean, obviously, usually they're spending that money going to Australia and these random countries with Notion. But I thought they were putting their travel budget to good use, because I'm guessing that was not a cheap bill to set up an entire carnival in the middle of the woods for two people. But yeah, I mean, like you said, Trevor, it was nice to kind of get away from all this petty drama that we've seen, that we always see a lot of, but this year especially we've seen a bunch of. And really just see, I mean, two people that it makes sense. Like, again, Piper has never been, I'd say, in the top two or three this year in terms of power rankings, you could probably say. But for whatever reason, when I watched that date, like, it just makes sense. Like, I could see them being together at the end. I'm not saying that I think Piper's going to win. But I just feel like if you saw those two on the street, like, it just seems like they're right for one another. They seem like a couple that enjoys the same things, and it seems like they have fun when they're together. So it just makes sense. And I thought that was very clear during this one-on-one. It seemed like they had a lot of fun, and it seemed like the conversation was very easy. It flowed, and it made a lot of sense. So again, it's not super surprising to see that, because I think Piper has been somebody to keep an eye on. And even when I drafted her, when we did our draft, I even said that she might be like, kind of like my dark horse, where I could see her going far and maybe you didn't see it coming. And that might be what she is. She might just be a dark horse at this point, because, again, I don't necessarily think that she'll win, but I think she's definitely proving herself. And I do think that Matt has definitely opened his eyes up to Piper, because it seems like they have a strong connection.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll win either, but I also, my gut instinct from this was that she would be the best match for Matt, simply because I just think about, like, their personalities. And, like, obviously Matt, he loves to do all these activities. He's very, like, active. And I think Piper also probably likes to do a lot of activities. So I don't know. My instinct was that they would be the best match, personally. That's what I thought. But, Brandon, what did you think about this?
Yeah, I'll just make one quick point. I like the date a lot. I think they looked, you know, good together. They talked well. Yeah, I feel like they definitely had a connection there. I just want to say one quick thing. I love this date. This was the best date of the season, for sure. It seemed really, really fun. It seemed like they could kind of get out of, you know, everything that's happening in the world and have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I thought it was a great date. So then we get another great date. At least it was, I thought it was a solid date. It was a date that I would like to have, which was on the group date. We got bowling with some wings. I think there might have been some pizza there, some other food. I'm not exactly sure, but this, to me, seemed like a great group date. You know, bowling, obviously, you know, we love the competitions. We love the sports involved in the show. So I like this date. And we got the two teams matched up against each other. And I think the biggest takeaways were just, like, who were the bad bowlers. Obviously, like, Kit, as I kind of mentioned in my intro, it seemed clear everyone was kind of talking about, like, Kit is probably the worst bowler. And it seemed like, I think at one point, one of the teams...
Maybe all time.
Yeah, maybe of all time. But it seemed like one of the teams, I forget, I think it was the blue team that was, like about to, like, completely blow out the pink team, I think. And then somehow, all of a sudden, it was, like, really close at the end. Like, I... part of me wondered, and I don't think this actually happened, but part of me wondered, did they, like, make it close? Did they somehow, like, fix it to make it so that it was a close game? Like, it was, like, I think it was 551 to 548, like, 3 points, you know, before, like, Abigail, I think, was about to bowl or something, or the last, like, two people were about to bowl. I thought that was pretty crazy. Brandon, what did you think about this date?
Yeah, honestly, I think the concept of the date is a really good idea. I was bored watching it, though. I don't know how it was close. Abigail and Kit were utterly terrible at bowling. So I don't know how it was close, unless the other girls are, you know, bowling perfect games. I can't see either one of those girls getting above 30 pins. So overall, I was kind of bored by this date. Just wasn't that entertained.
Yeah. Ben, how about you? Any thoughts? Any thoughts about, like, having the wings, the pizza, or what did you think about the bowling?
I mean, so I would love this date because I love me some wings, some pizza, and I don't hate bowling. So, I mean, I would like the date. But, again, it's one of those where, like, I don't know if necessarily the girls were into it, but they kind of just had to, like, pretend like they were into it. Maybe they had fun. I mean, I'm sure they do. And, again, I've talked about this. We've talked about this on this podcast even this season. But, like, I hate when they send half of them home. I think it's a terrible idea. And it didn't seem like they were going to. And then Chris Harrison came in and he did his whole thing where he's like, you know, we got to make this a competition. So if you lose, you got to go home. And again, that adds like maybe 2 minutes of drama into the episode because the people that go home are upset. But other than that, I just don't feel like it adds a whole lot to the episode. And obviously you saw that when you sent the one team home and then like 2 hours later, they get to come back. So again, like just don't do it in the first place. I've never understood the whole concept of sending half the people home on a group day. It's really not fair to them. And I get it. I guess it's supposed to add some sort of content, but I just don't think it's worth the 2 minutes of content that you get from it by sending people home. So I'm not a fan of it. Again, I feel like it made the date a little bit worse when you bring in that aspect to any group date.
You don't like raising the stakes? You don't like making it more...
I'm cool with raising the stakes. I'm cool with playing for something, but don't play for something. Don't play for time with Matt because, again, that's so not fair to... Even if you try your best and you lose in a game like bowling, like... It's just not fair to those girls that get sent home because that's the only thing you have to offer in a show like this is literally your time with somebody, and it's essentially out of your control whether or not you can win in a bowling game.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, you know, theoretically it is in your control. You can be good at bowling and you can win, but, I mean, some people just aren't good at bowling. There's really not a whole lot you can do about it if some pins fall. So I just hate the idea of taking away time with Matt, which is really all you have to offer when it's not really in your control.
Yeah, and it also kind of seemed like, I'm trying to remember, because I know Abigail was on the team that got sent home originally. I think Rachel was. And do you remember if Bree was as well? I know that Abigail and Rachel were.
Yeah, but to me, it was like Abigail, Rachel, Bree, and Kit. And then the other team was like Jasenia and Chelsea and Michelle and like Serena P or somebody.
Yes.
So like it seemed like the producers very clearly were like, oh shoot, we messed up. We sent some of the favorites home. Maybe we should send them back. That was my thought.
That's what I thought. I was like, I think a lot of these women that were on the team that got sent home because they lost, I think a lot of them are the front runners, and I think that's the main reason why they came back. So I just wanted to mention that. I think that was definitely a motivating factor there, but we got that. It was a pretty good date overall. Then we finally get the one-on-one that I think we've kind of been waiting for, and Katie gets a one-on-one. And this was very different as far as a one-on-one. It was funny. You know, obviously Tyler C, he comes in, and we'll talk a little bit about Tyler C, but the early portion of the date, essentially, they have this, like, is it a masseuse? Is that the term, I believe?
Yes.
So they have this masseuse who is, they're kind of pranking Tyler C, and they're telling her to, like, ask him questions and do all this funny stuff. And I thought that was funny. Like, I thought it was cool. It was weird, though, I have to say. It was weird. And also, I want to mention the point that anytime I have ever seen a date where the lead brings in, like, their best friend or something, that usually is a sign that this person is, like, in the friend zone. Because I remember Rachel Lindsay, on her season, I believe she had, like, a friend come in or something and on the one-on-one, and that guy was, like, immediately sent home after, I believe. I think this has happened a few times. So when I saw this, I don't think I initially remembered it, but after watching, I think I listened to a podcast and they mentioned it, so... That definitely wasn't... If I'm in Katie's position, I wouldn't love that. I wouldn't want to be on a first date where you know, that the person I'm with, their best friend, is also on the date. I personally wouldn't love that. Brennan, what do you think about that? How would you feel, say, if on your first date with Kayla, if she would have had like her best friend on that date? Would you be fine with that, or I don't know? What do you think about that?
So, for the people who do not know at home, I have a lovely girlfriend named Kayla, so that is why this is mentioned. So shout out to her. She's actually watching this season. This is her first season watching, and she's really been enjoying it. But, I don't know, I feel like if that was the first date, it might be a little bit weird for sure. But let's get back to the actual date that happened. I don't know if we could have a better combination. Tyler Cameron, the man, the myth, the legend, right? Then we got Katie on the date. And Matt, who even cares about him at this point? I think we should set up Tyler Cameron and Katie. That's what I think should happen. Two probably ultra favorites on The Bachelor. All-time favorites. You know, I would say Tyler Cameron's might be the favorite ever across anyone. And Katie, I mean, is the greatest. I say we set them up. Just this season can... We're done with this season. I'm done with this season. Let's just set up Katie and Tyler Cameron. Thoughts, Trevor? What do you think?
I mean, I would like to see them both in paradise for sure. And then it would be interesting to see, you know, what happens. So, yeah, I'm open to it.
So, that's what I want to happen. But, you know, the date was definitely a little bit weird. And I will say, and I think I speak for me and Ben, we both... We're a little bit spoiled on this one. We knew Katie went home on our one-on-one. We both got a little bit of a spoiler, which was not fun to hear. But it was sad seeing Katie go, because, you know, we all love Katie so much.
Yeah, I was a little surprised in the moment. But looking back on it, like, I didn't think she was going to go a ton farther than this anyway. So I think it just sucked, because obviously we all like Katie. But Ben, any thoughts on this date?
Yeah, no, it hurt. It hurt to watch Katie go home, but I thought it was a good date. I thought it was good for Katie in the aspect of, I mean, obviously Katie's like hilarious, and we know she's funny, and she's got an awesome personality. And I think for somebody like Matt, who we know up to this point really hadn't spent a whole lot of time with Katie, I mean, it was pretty clear that Katie was not in the top five or six or maybe even seven, because we just haven't seen a whole lot of time with them together one-on-one. So I think for somebody like Matt, he doesn't know a whole lot about Katie, but he knows she has an awesome personality. So I understand why he thought this would be an awesome date for him and Katie to do. And it was. It was a great date. And Brandon, I'm all for your idea of setting her and Tyler up. I texted you. I said maybe she should just swing by Tyler's room on her way out the door and see what goes on there, because I think her and Tyler would be great together. They both seem like they're really, really
yes,
cool.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I mean, Katie going home is just, it's such a blow, because she is so clearly America's favorite. I mean, she is seriously like, I mean, she is like the anchor to the season. She kind of keeps everything in a great perspective. She puts people in their place. She kind of makes it feel like, you know, all this toxic energy that we've seen throughout the whole season, she kind of gives, like, you know, faith to humanity. Like, there are good people out there, and there are good people that want to be on this show for the right reason. They're not just there to be on TV. So Katie not making the top 10 even. I mean, technically, I guess she's 11th or 12th, I guess, if you had Heather. Her not even being in the top 10 is just, it hurts, because she has played such a big role in this season. And to see her go week six, I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to not, you know, see her moving forward, because she really is, like, you know, somebody that you look forward to seeing every week, because she really is probably the best thing that's happened to the season thus far. So it's not fun to see her go. I was not happy. Knowing before the episode that she had a one-on-one, or she was going to go home during her one-on-one, I was not happy to see that this week was the week that she had her one-on-one, because I do think it's too early for go home. Regardless of how Matt actually feels about her at this point, I don't really care. I just want to see Katie, because she's cool. So seeing Katie go home definitely hurt. And honestly, it might have hurt me more than it hurt Matt. So it's a blow. Yeah. America didn't like it, and I can understand why, because she really is. She's awesome. She's really cool.
Yeah, and I think the main reason why maybe I just would push back on the Katie Tyler C thing a little bit is because I want Katie to be the Bachelorette. I mean, we've been saying it all season. Like, I really want Katie to be the Bachelorette. Maybe they can have Tyler C. I mean, I know we don't love new people coming in. If he comes at the beginning, like, if we have Tyler C on the Bachelorette, but he comes in at the beginning, I don't know if he would.
Cancel the season. Let's get them together.
But we have to. We got to see. But what are we going to do? A spinoff show, Katie and Tyler C? Is that you pitching an idea?
Yes. Okay. I would watch that.
Honestly, we should just end this season now. We should let Katie be the Bachelorette, and we should see where it goes from there. Because I do think, I mean, she's probably, at this point, she's probably the best one to be the Bachelorette. I mean, like, age-wise, she's like 28 or 29. She's perfect age for it. And she clearly is America's favorite. Yep. So, I mean, I think they'd be stupid if they don't have her be the Bachelorette. Because, I mean, I think plenty of people would love it, and clearly America loves her. And she seems like she's pretty mature, and I think she could handle it. So, you know, fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think if the producers do listen to America, which hopefully they do, then she will be, you know. So hopefully she is. But last thing we had to talk about was this Heather stuff. Yes, we do have to at least, like, mention it. It's just really strange overall. We're going to get more of it next week, obviously. But her coming in, it's week six now, so it's... They mentioned the halfway point, I think, last week. So they're past the halfway point. There's literally, I think Chris mentioned, there's like 2 weeks until like hometown dates. So Heather's just going to come in. She's going to talk to Matt. And like, she's going to hope to, you know, go on a hometown date. It's just, it's all very strange to me. I feel like that, you know, if she really wanted to make this work and Hannah Brown, like, I feel like they could have made this happen earlier. It's hard to know how much, like, to do with this production was. Obviously, like, Chris tried to act, like, Chris in production made it seem like Heather just showed up without informing anyone. I don't know if that's actually true, though. Ben, what do you think? Do you think that Heather just showed up without notifying the producers? Because I doubt it.
No. No, I'm not buying any of this. And there's a couple reasons why. One, I'm pretty sure she was mic'd up when she pulled up. I don't know, but, I mean, her sign was very clear, and I'm pretty sure the security guard was mic'd up. And, again, I don't know for sure, but I have a hard time believing that she just showed up. And another reason, if she really did, if this is all 100% genuine, which, I highly doubt, the security guard was so willing just to call somebody for this girl that just claims that she wants to see Chris Harrison. Like, if that's true, if they do the next Bachelorette somewhere, then you know, anybody can clearly just be like, yo, I want to talk to Chris Harrison. I want to talk to Chris Harrison. Because I highly doubt that this security guard would just be so willing to call and be like, hey, some girl wants to talk to Chris Harrison. Because I guarantee you people knew that they were filming there, and people probably tried to get in and see stuff. So
yeah.
I just feel like security would probably be a little bit tighter when you're filming a show like The Bachelor that's as popular and as secretive as it is when they film stuff like this. So I'm not buying any of this. I don't buy the whole Chris Harrison. I think his acting was subpar. I think he could have gave a better performance acting-wise. So I'm not buying any of this. I'm not saying that maybe Heather, it wasn't her idea to come, but I highly doubt that when she came and we saw her talking to Chris Harrison, I highly doubt that was the first time that she was in contact with anybody from the show.
Yeah, I agree. It seemed totally fake to me. Brendan, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I won't say too much because Ben kind of said it all. But I think we're going to talk about Heather a lot more next week's episode for sure. Seems like she's going to be a big center point moving forward. But she was definitely called. She didn't just walk up to a place. I mean, no one even knew where the place was. She didn't just walk up.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I think that's about it, though, for this episode. I mean, you know, we're down to the final 10 or final 11 with Heather. Hopefully, you know, it gets... Again, I think this episode was all right. Like, I think it was, like, average, I guess. Like, we've had bad episodes, good episodes. I think this one, like, had good parts and bad parts, so it's somewhere in the middle. But, yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, no, it was in the middle for sure. I clearly get that. But I think we'll end it there for today. Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate all the support on this podcast and across all of the Small Baller podcasts. In the description, we'll have a link to our team drafts. You can see who has who left. My team is not doing so well. You'll be able to see that in the link in the description. And, of course, we'll also have our Twitter link in the description. It's at the Small Baller. So you know when all of our podcasts go live. On Sundays, we have the Small Baller podcast with the three of us. Potentially even a guest this week. I don't know. We'll see. And, of course, we have the 12th Order podcast with Josh and Will, which should be coming out soon. So thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.